This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Carson Anderson, 97.1 A Ticket. Hello and happy Wednesday. Sun's out shining. Tigers won last night. Red Wings lost. It's probably more important for the Red Wings to get that win than the Tigers, although I don't want to dismiss that what the Tigers did. That was significant. Good for them. I'm excited about this Tiger team. And I think people should be excited about this Tiger team. We'll get into them a little bit later on. But obviously the frustration this morning is centered around the Red Wings, who played a must-win game, and they did not win it. They played like they knew it was a must-win game. But essentially the season ended when they were only up 1-0 midway through the second period, because they could have been up 2-3, 4-0. But they couldn't put the puck in the net, Gator. And we go back to something I've been saying for months, and that is they got 1.5 good lines, and then they got role players and fourth liners. And they just don't have enough players that can finish. And, you know, the defensive issues turnover in their own zone led to a goal. And I mean, it's a very, very frustrating team. And when we get into the one net, what's next at the NHL level, what they're putting on the ice is simply not good enough. There's some stuff in the organization to be excited about. And I think if if they do make a change from Steve Yzerman, which is certainly worthy of discussion. But if they do make a change from Steve Yzerman, the person that would be taking over isn't taking over a completely bare cupboard, but it's in the here and the now, the topic being the 2024-2025 season. It's pretty big disappointment.
It's been a major disappointment to go from, you know, a couple of years ago and they had a run, couldn't get it done. Last year, they had a run, and they literally missed out of the playoffs on a technicality because they had the same amount of points, but they didn't have enough wins in regulation, so they lost out in the playoffs. And then this year, they're playing very poorly, make a coaching change, and all of a sudden, everything changes. They play really well, 7-game win streak, lose a couple games, another 7-game win streak, and then things just go downhill. March happens. You know, Four Nations Cup happens, and the captain comes back, and he doesn't look anywhere near what he did even when he was playing in the Four Nations Cup. Did he suffer an injury there? What's going on? And the other thing that happened we don't really spend a whole lot of time talking about is Andrew Kopp got hurt. And it might just be coincidence, but when Andrew Kopp got hurt, it looks like that's when the Red Wings went south. Now, is he that important a player? Doesn't seem like he'd be. But it's just one of those things you can look at and say, wow, that's strange. Look what happened there. But nonetheless, this we've seen this before, and it's painful to watch and painful to go through again. And this team has – I mean, even last night's game was a microcosm of what's happened. You can thoroughly outplay a team for a period of time, but if you don't put them away, if you let them linger – it's not going to go well unless you've got the team that's good enough to withstand that. But they don't. They haven't learned how to win yet.
I'm watching that game last night, and it's early, and the Red Wings are playing great. And you're looking at the shot totals. It's 11-3 Red Wings. It's 21-4 Red Wings. The shots were 21-4. And I went from loving the way the game was going to slowly starting to hate the way the game was going, because they kept – firing puck after puck after puck on net, giving up almost no scoring chances, and it was still only 1-0, and it was still only 1-0. And then you just have this feeling of dread where you, no matter how well they were playing, the fact that they didn't capitalize, and then Montreal ties it up, and you go, of course, great, shots are 30-11, and we got a 1-1 game. And then in the third period, Montreal started to turn it around, and they really didn't even at the beginning of the third period. It was like the first shift of the third period, Montreal looked good, and then midway through that third period with like 12 and a half to go, that's when Hudson did that move, and the crowd really got into it, and the Canadians applied a bunch of consistent pressure for the first time on the night, and you know, you could see it coming. Okay, so that's a short term. Long term, you said end of the last show, you got the offseason move.
So according to SpotTrack, the Red Wings have $25 million in cap space, which is 12th in the league right now. I don't have all the league there to look and see how much different it is. I mean, numbers wise, they rank 12th, but it may only be a few million dollars out of me in the top, you know, the top five. I don't know. But it's $25 million in cap space. So it's time to make that big move. And I think they can you can do something in a couple different ways. One, I think they have to add a superstar to this team because they don't have a superstar. They have maybe four good players on this team and a couple other players that have some real potential to be good or better. But that's all they have. And none of those guys is a superstar. I love Lucas Raymond, but I don't think he's a superstar. Now, is he potential to have a 40-goal season? Yes. Is he have potential to be a 100-point a season guy? I mean, that's where you look at the superstars. So I don't think he's a superstar, and he's the guy, the best guy they have. But Mitch Marner is a free agent at the end of the season from Toronto. And I know what people say, they're not going to pay him. Well, he's 28 years old, and you heard Cookies say that he wants a, or maybe it was just us in the after the show, that Marner wants an eight-year deal. Okay, he's 28, so he'll be 36 at the end of the deal. I don't care what it looks like at the end of that deal. If it's 8 years down the road when the salary cap goes up and up and up and up over the years, I don't care. Give him the $11 million a year now for 8 years or whatever it's going to take, $11 or $12 million. I don't care. I want the superstar. You need the superstar. And even if he eats up $12 million a season, you still have another $13 million to spend. But they have to get a superstar player. And there happens to be a superstar player available. Go get him. That's the number one thing. The other thing I think they have to do is to look at the restricted free agent route and see if there is a player that would fit what they want to do on defense. They need a defenseman. And is there a guy that they can sign to an offer sheet who's a younger player, because that's what restricted free agents are. They're in like their mid-20s. Can you find somebody there that's not going to cost you $8, $9, $10 million a year, but someone who's definitely going to be an upgrade over who you have that's on a team that is in dire straits when it comes to their own cap situation so they won't be able to match that deal? Now, it will eventually cost you draft pick compensation. That's what happens when you sign somebody to a restricted free agent offer sheet. But
so you got a guy in mind?
I don't really have a, there are a couple guys, I guess, that I saw earlier. I could go back and look at that, but it's I think on defense I would take a peek at there were a couple guys.
Well, why don't you look it up?
Keandre Miller was one guy I was looking at from the Rangers. And the other was Luke Hughes from New Jersey.
Well, you know, we all see what's going on, right? Drafted reasonably well. Seem to have talent in the pipeline. They don't have a ton of cumbersome contracts moving forward. It's an organization that, as an outsider, if I took a 30,000-foot view, I think this team can get pretty good here in the future as the pipeline starts to produce players at the big league level. And they do have cap space. Just the question is, I mean, we all know what's gone wrong, and it's the veteran player acquisitions haven't been good enough. And, you know, we could debate whether or not the players that they've drafted, how good or bad they are going to be. It gets high praise, but there's no guarantees with that. And so it's been awfully frustrating. Hey, it's Doug Karsh. Check out the spring savings at Sarah Chevrolet in Sterling Heights. Lease a new 2025 Chevy Equinox LT for just $289 a month for 36 months with $1,999 down. $289. Go now to 17.5 in Van Dyke and Sterling Heights, 877-SAY-SARAH or saysarah.com. Together, let's drive with a GM employee discount and lease in the household, 10,000 miles per year plus taxes and fees with approved credit. Offer ends at the end of the month. Yeah, and they went on to win. And look, this is a 4-1 was a final, and the Red Wings basically done for the postseason. And look, the crazy thing is Yzerman's resume, and I went back to refresh, like, what were some of the moves he made at the NHL level, not as far as draft picks, in Tampa that were considered brilliant, like moving on from Ben Bishop to make a way for Vasilevsky, who he drafted. And the Jonathan Drouin trade, just when he started to like bounce back, he struck while the iron's hot, moved on from him, made the team better. There's all kinds of examples of subtle to great moves to the drafting. Braden Point in the third round. We mentioned Vasilevsky. They drafted Kucherov in the second round. There were some good moves that helped build that team that eventually won a cup. But it's, you know, I mean, hard one is when you're looking at an offseason, and Gator, we talked about it at the time, but they signed Tarasenko, right? And I call source in the league to get the take on this. And the response is, I don't know what that is. Like, that's one worth questioning.
Yeah, I mean, a little bit of a head scratcher at the time. I mean, couple years removed from a 30 goal season, he is a player that certainly has skill, and when you watch him play this year, you can see he's got skill, but he's not finishing. He's getting plenty of ice time, he's used in all types of situations, but he's just not making an impact. And it's not just him, but I mean, that's a big one, because that's over $4 million that they spent for this year and next year. So he's on the cap next year, I think $4.75 million. You add Gustafsson to the mix, a defenseman who doesn't cost him much. I think it's $2 million, but it's, again, it's another year on the books for them at $2 million. He's done for the year, and he hasn't done very much for this team. Then you talk about the acquisitions you make to get Craig Smith. Raise your hand if you've seen Craig Smith make an impact on this team.
Right.
Not that I don't know if he's supposed to, but he was an acquisition. Peter Mrazek. That one I don't understand. You have goaltenders signed to contracts, so I guess you're having him because you know that Alex Lyon isn't going to be re-signed, so okay, you go into next season, but Mrazek comes with a $4.25 million price tag. So between Mrazek and Tarasenko, you're talking $9 million committed for next year for guys that, do you really want them on the team?
Well, on top of that, aren't their goalies supposed to be in the pipeline?
Well, yeah. I mean, they have literally three goaltenders in the pipeline. One is really young at 19, who's incredibly raw, but apparently can't lose down in the minors. Then they've got Augustine, who's at Michigan State, who's, you know, would have come up, probably would have signed a contract to go to Grand Rapids if Kosa was going to move on to the Red Wings. But it looks like Kosa's going to go back to Grand Rapids. Why? Because they went and traded for Peter Mrazek. Which I don't really get, but you know, I can defer and say these are hockey people that know what they're doing. This is Steve Yzerman, who put together a team that eventually won a Stanley Cup after he left, albeit, but he put together a very competitive team in Tampa Bay, made some savvy moves. The drafting has been, I think it's been good under Steve Yzerman, given the circumstances of what they had to do because they weren't picking ultra high with some terrible draft lottery luck. But they've made the most of it. The guys they've got are some pretty good players, and we're waiting for some others in the pipeline, and they do have others in the pipeline. But the time is kind of like now. Like, the way that you get around, okay, if you feel that you're limited with your cap space, then promote one of these younger players. They don't cost you anything. Let's see Nate Danielson play. Would I rather see Nate Danielson play or Tyler Mott? Nate Danielson. Now, they tried it with Carter Mazur, but it was kind of an emergency break last situation, and then, unfortunately, he gets hurt in his first shift. But Mazur is another guy who you would expect would compete for a roster spot next year. So you've got two guys there, and Mazur and Danielson, that hopefully are competing for roster spots. add to that that I would hope that one of these million defensemen that they have in the system is ready to play next year, whether it's Sandin Pelikka and somebody else. But all that said, those are players that aren't going to cost you much. So you can afford to go ahead and back up the Brinks truck to Mitch Marner and say, here it is, $11 or $12 million a year. And if it's got to be 8 years, then so be it. It's got to be 8 years. There have been, he has hit on a couple of acquisitions. Okay, the trade for DeBrincat was a good trade. Mm-hmm. Alex DeBrincat's a really good hockey player. Signing and taking a chance on Patrick Kane in back-to-back years, Patrick Kane looks good. He doesn't look out of place at all. Now, he's getting older, and that's obviously something you have to consider. And what does Patrick Kane want to do? But I'm not going to bring Patrick Kane back on $5 or $6 million. But would I bring Patrick Kane back on 3 or 4? Would he want to stick around? I don't know if he wants to stick around. That's a question only he can answer. But I think he's a plus player in his team for sure.
I can't help but wonder if there's something wrong in the room. Like when you're looking for possible explanations, and you know we don't cover that team on a regular basis like the beat writers do. Is there something in that locker room that's unhealthy? Is there something that's holding them back?
I mean,
and this is giving it the 360. Like, what is the problem?
I can't imagine that's it, just given that, you know, if you looked in the room in February, how different it would have been because they were winning.
Yeah.
You know, winning cures everything. You were on your second 7-game win streak and things are going great. And then, you know, we talked about the momentum stopping because of the break in the season with the Four Nations Cup and how that was really unfortunate for the Red Wings because they were playing so well going into it. Yeah, they lost the last game going into it, but they had just come off a 7-game win streak. They go to that. We get to watch our two top players play in that tournament. And they played both very well, and specifically Larkin played really well.
Raise your hand if you completely misread what that was going to mean to the Red Wings.
Well,
I completely misread it. I thought take off and run. Couldn't have been more wrong.
Was hoping, yeah. But if it comes out, and don't be surprised when you hear the stories come out that, oh, yeah, he's got, you know, a torn groin or something like that. Because that's typically what happens. You find out after the season because hockey players are tough as hell and they're going to grind through it.
Through stuff.
And McClellan said something about it over the weekend, something about Larkin and health. Alluding to maybe there's something he's fighting through, which would make all the sense in the world. He's still a good player when he's fighting through it, but we saw what a difference maker he is when he doesn't have to fight through it, when he's completely healthy. So there was a confluence of things that went wrong, but a lot of those things are self-inflicted because of acquisitions were brought to this team. The guys just did not perform.
Let's go to Reno in Royal Oak. You're on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Reno.
Hey, good morning, guys. Hey. Gator, you brought up a thing there. Is the captain of Montreal, is it Suzuki? Is that name?
Yeah.
Am I right?
Yeah.
One thing that sparked me last night in the broadcast was talking about when they were doing well and he went to the GM and said, don't tear this team
when
apart.
Did you say, be clear here, you said when they weren't doing well, correct?
Well, yeah, Montreal. Correct.
Yes.
I mean, they were 1-7 and something.
Yep.
And we don't... I love Larkin, okay? I think he's a good player. He's not a great player. The mindset, do we have somebody in that room that's going to be that kind of leader and bring up kind of like what Suzuki said? I question Stevie, and I'm all over the place here. Bear with me. Goff Despair, we couldn't give him another year. Like you're saying, we give up Wallman. Craig Smith, we couldn't put in Watson instead of Craig Smith. I know Watson's not Joe Thornton. I get that. But when he's been out there, he's provided the energy that we've needed and we've lacked. Yeah. He's got ability. Paying him, what, $600 a year? It's the kind of decisions that have been made that have gotten to us to this point. Yes, we've got draft picks up to you-know-what, but are we going to wait another 4 or 5 years for the upcoming draft picks to come to fruition, right, let alone the ones that we got 2 years ago? They still aren't up. So it's kind of like, how much leeway do we give Stevie? And it's like, are we – a lot of people, I think, are confusing Stevie, the guy that wore the sweater, to the guy that's now wearing the suit. I think they're two totally different.
But the guy that wore the suit in Tampa was awfully good.
That's the problem is – And I'm not confusing Stevie. The guy who wore the sweater was the guy who wears a suit.
No, I don't either.
It's the guy who wore a suit in Tampa.
Where's that guy?
Yeah. What happened? 248-539-9797. Maybe we're overvaluing it, but hey, great lawn's like a great sports team. It takes expertise and a little extra care to really stand out, and that's where True Green comes in. They are the local experts in Detroit and the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, so they know a thing or two about keeping grass looking like a fairway. Here's the best part. It's more affordable than you think, and they'll even match any competitor's price. Plus, True Green backs it all up with a satisfaction guarantee. Not happy? They'll come back between visits to make it right. Don't wait. Head to TrueGreen.com today. Let the pros do the work while you sit back and enjoy the results.
I do want to say this, too, about looking at Montreal and, you know, the caller had brought up that what Suzuki had said to, you know, to the GM and said, look, you know, we got this. Let
things
us
weren't going
don't,
well.
Don't move
yeah.
us, anybody out. We
during
all want
the
to
season,
stay here.
Yeah, he said, don't break us up.
And he said, okay, we'll trust you. And then Montreal went on this big run. You know, it's interesting when you look at some of the guys, some of the key players from Montreal, maybe this needs to be a lesson learned throughout the NHL, is you don't always judge a book by its cover in terms of how big the player is. Nick Suzuki is 5'11". Now, he's solidly built over 200 pounds, but he's 5'11". You look at Cole Caulfield, who's 5'8", but he's a goal scorer. He's got four straight years where he scored over 20 goals a season. He was taken in the same draft that Mo Sider was. He went 15th, and Mo was obviously a much higher pick, and I'm not disappointed with Mo Sider. I'm just making a point. Here's another guy who's diminutive in stature. And then you've got the water bug of a defenseman, Lane Hutson, who is setting all types of records, who's 5'9 and 162 pounds.
So good.
And he looks amazing out there. So, I mean, every time, and I'm guilty of this as much as anybody else, when you start to look at things and players that you want, like
the
first thing
on
I
the
go
blue
is,
line.
How big is the guy? Yeah. Because you want the big bruiser out there. You don't always need to have the big bruiser out there. And now I think the Red Wings have enough guys with size on the blue line that if somebody is smaller in stature, but boy, they can move the puck, or boy, they can skate, don't shy away from it. And I'm not saying that's what the Red Wings' philosophy has been. I'm just, this is like for everybody broadcasting to everybody who watches hockey. Don't judge somebody just because they're smaller. These smaller players, it's about how much heart they have. You don't think Lane Hutson has heart? The kid's a stud.
If you watch last year's
absolute stud
Frozen Four, and quite frankly, their run, I mean, Lane Hutson was ridiculous at BU, and he's ridiculous with Montreal.
You know, and they've got a
pucks on a string, man.
Yeah. So it's not always about having that big bruising forward or that big bruising defenseman. It's about having players that know how to play the game, have the other skills necessary. And, you know, Montreal, they've taken it and run with it here, and they're running away with it now. It's now there's, 8 points between them and the Red Wings and the Rangers, I think. And it's just, you know, good for Montreal. They got it going, and the Red Wings couldn't. They had a dominant first period last night, but they didn't put their foot on the throat of Montreal at all. When you outshoot a team 25-4 or whatever it was after 20 minutes of play, and you only have a one-goal lead, eesh. When you saw Compher miss that empty net, just you had a sinking feeling that something was going to go wrong, and it did.
Look,
and it went
very
poorly in the third period again.
248-539-9797 from Greg in St. Clair Shores. Gator, I don't think a superstar on the Wings can change inconsistent, uninspired play, which was the Wings most of this season. Just my opinion.
I think there's a lot more to it. I said more than just a superstar player, but I think if you add Mitch Marner to this team, you're bolstering that offense in a number of different ways. Obviously, you're adding a superstar, but you're also putting other really good players that can play together on a different line as opposed to maybe the top six. I really like what the offense would look like if they were to do something like that. And then I'm counting on other guys being brought up and then other acquisitions that can be made.
Unnamed texter, if Steve listens to his coaches, this offseason should be aggressive because McClellan won't mince words on the issues with this team. Let's hope so. 248-539-9797. Dan's in Dundee and on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Dan.
Morning, guys. How are you?
Okay.
First-time caller, so I appreciate you guys having me.
Thanks for calling.
First off, I do agree, Mitch Marner, whatever it takes, 10, 11, 12 mil a year, I think that's a no-brainer. I think it puts players more in their slot. Could you imagine Casper as your third-line center? going into next year if they bring him in and then re-sign Kane. I think that's a great spot. But more so my focus on this call is defensively. I think they need to get bigger. They need to get meaner. They need to get physical. No offense to Justin Hall or Jeff Petrie, but we saw yesterday, first goal for Montreal, Cole Caulfield, who's half the size of Justin Hall, just completely outpositioned him. You know, strength in your spot there, scores that first goal. It's completely unacceptable, in my opinion.
Hall lost a battle in the corner before that. Like, he lost a battle in the corner where it looked like he had the puck. And I mean, it was just...
Just a bad thing. And, I mean, with the Red Wings' current decor, I mean, you're giving guys that are typical number five, number six defensemen, number three, number 4 minutes, and Petrie and Hall, and probably Gustafson before he got hurt. But two names to thank in the offseason. Obviously, Trouba, we revisited this going into the year with the trade deadline and stuff. It'd be nice to bring him in, local guy. But the name I really think is Aaron Ekblad. He's an unrestricted free agent in Florida. They have zero money to bring him back, especially with bringing in Brad Marchand, too. I don't think he'll be back in Florida, but they're obviously very financially handcuffed. Another thing about Aaron Ekblad would be is he's currently suspended with PED, so I'd like to believe that would probably hurt his value and hope and help any team that would get him. And I just think, could you imagine a decor next year of Ekblad, Sider, Evanson, Johansson, Sandin Pelikka, and then Trouba? Bigger, faster, meaner. I just think that's what the Wings need to bring some grit into this lineup.
Well, wins are native. I don't know how much that matters, but in an effort to try, I mean, you play every card you can possibly play to get a guy. And, you know, he, late 20s, what kind of contract is he looking at?
He's been a career Florida Panther, too, yeah. So I don't know if he even wants to leave. But no, I mean, it's a player I'd certainly listen to, be interested in, absolutely.
They've got to take some steps forward, because this is the spinning of the wheels, the being in the, I mean, look, quite frankly, worse than last year. This is worse than last year. It's a step back. It's a step back. 248-539-9797. More of your phone calls and feedback here on Carson Anderson. For the past two seasons, we've been saying, if we don't make the playoffs next year, why are we still moving the goalposts? Well, I don't know when you were saying it, sir, whoever this, or ma'am, whoever wrote this. This was the first one that felt like a do or die season to me.
Yeah.
And you know, the last year was disappointing for sure, but, you know, we are at the point where certainly there need to be serious discussions, and I understand if they are ready. I mean, I think everybody would understand if they're ready to move on from Yzerman. It's just, it's awfully frustrating. You go backwards.
And last night they wasted another really good Talbot performance. Mm-hmm. He was really good again last night. You know, the second goal, you don't fault him. You know, when Johansson loses his helmet, and next thing you know, he's got to go pick it up and put it on or leave the ice or whatever. When you leave that position, the guy's wide open, and it ends up being the game-winning goal, and it sucks.
248-539-9797. This team is a disaster. Yzerman has no clue. He makes no big-time moves to improve this team. He's just riding the wave and sits on his hands and does nothing. He's disappointing and needs to answer as to why. He does nothing. Sits on draft picks instead. It sits on draft picks, leaves talented players in the minors too long. I'm done with him. Football fan in Belleville writes that.
I don't know how many guys are too ripe in the minors. I don't mean, as much as I want to see Nate Danielson, Nate Danielson hasn't been, you know, a world beater at the AHL this year. He's had a nice couple games lately, but for the season, his point totals aren't anything special. You know, Sandin Pelikka, they knew they were going to have him in Sweden all season long. But I thought the idea would be interesting to flirt with bringing him up to the main roster if this team was going to make a playoff push, but they're not. So will he end up playing the last few games with Grand Rapids and then playing for Grand Rapids in the playoffs? Like to see that. But I don't think anybody's been left on the vine too long.
Well, you're a Kosa guy.
Yeah, I'd like to see Kosa get an opportunity. Now, if you go into next season and Kosa's starting at Grand Rapids, then maybe you can make that argument. But goaltenders seem like they take a long time before they break in. But he's still, 21, 22 years old? I want to see him play. I thought they had an opportunity earlier this season when they did bring him up in an emergency situation. They didn't do it.
Is that an example of a guy they left in the minors too long?
If he's left in the minors this next season, I think you can make that argument. But I think for right now, You can still make that argument.
Yeah, I was about to say, because you say you want to see him play. Yeah,
I can make that argument.
248-539-9797. More of your phone calls and feedback coming up. The Red Wings, pretty much done for all intents and purposes. Tigers, however, Tigers just getting started, looking pretty good. We will get to them at 11:05 here on Carson Anderson on 97.1 The Ticket. Hey, FanDuel is giving new customers an offer unlike any other that they've had. The first major at Augusta, because right now new customers get $250 in bonus bets if you win your first $5 bet. So can Jordan Spieth get his second green jacket? Can Will Zalatoris finally break through? People are loving on Rory this week. You can bet on all these storylines, plus first-round leaders, top 20s, top 30s, three balls, tournament matchups, and so much more. Plus, you get paid instantly when you bring home a major win this major season. Don't wait. Visit FanDuel.com/Doug to download FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, and swing for some green at Augusta. Must be 21 or over and present in Michigan. First online real money wager only. $5 deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Doug Karsh, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. Now the recruiting job for Steve Yzerman, if he indeed is in charge, is to try and convince someone to take your cap space. And, you know, is there excitement? Is there excitement about the direction of the Red Wings? There's excitement. Like, you can see the Red Wings were once a coveted place to play. This was a place to play. And then the team started losing momentum. The Joe Louis Arena was out of date. And it was noticed. I mean, it was noticed. And, you know, I talked to players. They were like, yeah, it was our dump, but it was a dump. The people that worked there took very good care of it. Yeah, and the building had a soul. The building had a soul because we had championships that we celebrated there. But they got rid. They upgraded from that, okay? And then they build the LCA, and now you've got a modern, up-to-date facility. But it's not. This isn't as coveted a place to play. And so, you know, now the recruiting job starts. You know, the guy called to mention Ekblad. And, yeah, he was born in Windsor, but I don't think he even grew up there. I think he moved pretty
somewhere
quick.
Somewhere else in Ontario.
You know, somebody said Trouba. Yeah, you can try to play that card. It matters and it doesn't matter. I mean, it matters to some people. But you remember, there's some people that want to get away. Some people that are happy being elsewhere, and there's going home matters to a select few. And, but that also narrows, if that's a card you have to play, it dramatically narrows the field of players that you have access to. I mean, when you trade for a guy, they don't have as much of a choice. Unless if they have a no trade clause, they could say no. So,
doesn't it feel like there should be an advantage for the Red Wings over other teams in the league because the developmental team is based here, the U.S. developmental team?
I mean,
because these players are living here when they're teenagers, living with billet families and all that. I would think that there would be somewhat of an advantage.
That's like saying, Scott, you've been offered a position on the Central Michigan broadcast. You went to school there. How do you know the person liked it here?
I suppose you don't, but. I mean, in my case, I certainly didn't, et cetera, but that's okay.
Yeah, it wasn't for you. Let's just say that, I mean, again, it goes back to it matters to some people.
I mean, how about this? For at least scouting purposes and all that, I mean, I don't know. I think that there should be some sort of slight advantage with having the developmental team right in your backyard. Not that necessarily every time they become a free agent, they're going to want to come here, but there's something there. For the organization, at least, they've gained by having this program right here.
I think if you look at what's happened with two other Detroit teams, the Lions and the Pistons, the Lions certainly and the Pistons maybe have been able to change the narrative with either strong young players or strong leadership that have excited people. Like, the Lions are now a destination. The Detroit Lions are a destination. The Detroit Pistons might be. All right. We've gone through a long era where Detroit, not an exotic locale, not a place that NBA players really coveted to play. And now they might have the appeal of having a good young team with a superstar that's you know, developing, blossoming in front of our eyes, and other players that people want to play with. I mean, at some core, Jalen Duren has got to be an awfully attractive player to play with because he takes up a ton of minutes and he's not commanding a ton of shots. And it allows superstars to get to get shots up. And, you know, Duren is going to get his, but he's not a player that you have to run the offense through. I just think there's some excitement about those teams. Is there excitement about the Red Wings that will draw free agents who have a choice if it's more than money?
I think with the Pistons, it's more of an uphill battle because Detroit being a cold location in for basketball towns.
The weather's the same for Lions and Red Wings.
Well, it's not the same for the Lions because the Lions play basically they play from September through, you know, December basically. So basketball starts up what early November, late October. There's more of your season is in the cold. And for the Red Wings, it's hockey. You know, you got a bunch of players that grew up in Canada. They're used to it. In the NBA, players will want to go. They're more inclined to lean to go to the Lakers or the Miami Heat, right? Because of that situation. Well, I think it's improving.
If you're good,
it's improving. It's still an uphill battle.
Yeah, we had an era where people wanted to play for the Pistons, and you can get back to that. But anyway, right now, do they want to play for the Wings? Do they want to play for the Wings? I want to bring in Kenny, a resident hockey guy here on the station who lives and dies every night. He's done a lot of dying lately.
Wow. It's true.
Your thoughts on the state of the organization here?
The state of the Wings?
Yeah.
I mean, I remember maybe it was a week ago, Doug, when you kind of threw the towel in on the season.
It was about 3 weeks ago.
Ago. Okay. Yep. I was around there with you. I was kind of like, just go away already. Stop making me invest in these games. But I think the big splash move needed to happen last offseason, if you ask me. I think they needed to get a lot better last offseason. I think they needed to fire Derek Lalonde last offseason. I mean, could you imagine if they would have gotten the new head coach bump and had that system in place throughout this whole season as opposed to half of it? I feel like the organization would have operated a lot smoother. And if you ask me, I think we would have been in the playoffs firmly right now had they have done that.
That might have been the biggest mistake of all.
Yeah, I think it was.
Forget Tarasenko, forget Gustafson, or forget whatever. It's Derek Lalonde starting the season as the Red Wing head coach.
And I love the idea that you had about Marner. I'd be all in on that. The caller said Aaron Ekblad. That'd be cool. It's tough to pry players from Florida nowadays because of the tax situation down there. But I mean, we said it last offseason. I feel like we needed a big splash move. And I guess what faith do you have that Steve is in a rush to make that move? Because I just don't have any.
I think the roster has enough players now on it where they're at reasonable amounts of money they're making because the roster has a lot of younger players on it, that you can go ahead and spend half of that salary cap on one player. Cap space, I should say. You've got $25 million in cap space or $24 million in cap space. Go ahead and give half of that to a superstar like Mitch Marner and then continue to promote younger players and pay them. Now, I think Soderblom, is a restricted free agent. You're going to have to.
It wouldn't surprise me if somebody offer sheeted him.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me either. And Red Wings better match it because I think Soderblom is one of these players that has a very, very, very bright future.
Feedback here. I hate this because I love Steve Yzerman. Though, why did we add the dead body of Mrazek and you helped the Blackhawks and ate $4.25 million? Cop and comp for overpaid and getting $10.75 for another three and four years. Tarasenko is useless and also $4 million with no trade clause. The entire Walman trade is horrible. My God, it is. And gave away a top-line defenseman and a loss of a second-round pick. Hull, who everybody knows was horrible and soft, made no sense and Petrie's overpaid. The entire collection of Yzerman's moves outside of the first-round draft picks and bringing in Captain Kane has otherwise been abysmal.
Well,
it's Troy Weaver.
What's that?
It's Troy Weaver. It's draft. Yeah, a draft, but a collection of moves with the big club that have not paid dividends. And Look, there could be, somebody, like, I don't think they're in a useless situation. There's people in the pipeline. The question is somebody here that's going to be in the pipeline, it's going to be better than Dylan Larkin? Somebody here that's going to be better than or as good as Mo Sider? Is that Pelika? I mean, who's the next, the guy that can probably bump Larkin down to being, you know, the second line center or somebody who can score more? I don't know. I mean,
in a couple of years, that might be Casper. You know, Casper is on a rookie season. He's got 16 goals and 16 assists in 72 games, but most of that has come in the last, 30 games?
Yeah.
When he's been promoted to the better lines, he's really performed well. He's got a high ceiling. But, you know, guys in a pipeline like that, Danielson's not that type of player. Franzek Nygaard is not that type of player. Or Nygaard, I guess. He's not that type of player. They have some players that have had some in their system that have had some pretty good offensive seasons, but you just don't know what they are yet. I mean, you're just starting to get it. Like this Emmett Finney, who's a player they have, who's now at Grand Rapids. Played with Kamloops in the Western League, had 84 points in 55 games. Now he's with Grand Rapids. In four games, he's got a goal and an assist. So, I mean, he's getting a taste of what it's like to play in the bigger league. So, but you don't know. You know, they got a Russian kid. We'll see. Are any of those guys Dylan Larkin-esque? I don't think so.
Yeah, you need
players. Dylan Larkin was a first-round pick for a reason.
But Dylan Larkin's a good player, don't get me wrong, yeah. But you need somebody better. Like, you just need
Marner.
Yeah, well, if you can get him to come here. You can get him to come here. 248-539-9797. Phone calls, feedback, Carson Anderson. Just a reminder, you can stream the show using the Audacy app, AUDACY. Download it for your mobile device today. Then you can listen to this show and all the shows here on 97.1 The Ticket. Anywhere in the United States, same thing through our website, 971theticket.com, where Champ and Chump got posted yesterday. See who the people selected as Champ and Chump of the weekend. We've got streaming with video now. Go to twitch.tv and youtube.com, where streaming chat. Fine community of people love to comment on the show and other stuff. Do appreciate all of you that watch the show and comment on twitch.tv and youtube.com, where go to the search bar and type in 971 The Ticket.
Gator, have you had a sheen shod before?
A what?
Sheen shod? I'm probably saying this wrong. Did you see Ken Kell, what he tweeted out last night?
I did not.
Go ahead and check out his Twitter account, both of you guys. I am not asking you, Doug, for an obvious reason once you see this.
Okay. This is Kenny Cal, voice of the Red Wings.
Yes.
All right. I'm intrigued what the hell that means.
Where am I looking? Oh, I got you. Okay.
Okay. All right. Well, let's describe it and get to it coming up. And I want to know if you ever... we'll retweet it so you can know what Kang's talking about.
Yes.
All right, we'll get to it at 11:05. Talk some Tigers next hour as well. 97.1 The Ticket.